But you've been walking through a sermon series entitled Finding Your Rhythm, and at the core of that sermon series is a discussion about stewardship, which is this really important Christian principle, stewardship, which basically is fundamentally tied to the idea that we recognize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. Everything that you and I see, everything that you and I have, is to be submitted as followers of Christ to the Lordship of Jesus. And that's encapsulated in this idea of stewardship. And stewardship basically is taking care of something that has been given to you with great responsibility. And that's true of a lot of things in our lives. And we talk about stewardship in a lot of ways in the Christian church. A lot of times, though, you hear it associated with things like tithing, your money. You know, we want you to recognize that the money that you have is a gift from the Lord and that you should honor the Lord with your finances. We talk about your time. The Lord has given you a set amount of days upon this earth, and how you use those things is a reflection of God's importance in your life. Talk about the talents that you have in your life, the abilities, the giftedness that God has given you. You are to use in reverence to Him, acknowledging that He gave you those things, and as a result, you should use them for His glory, for His purposes. But today, I want to take that a step further, and I want to talk about specifically your bodies, your temple, where the Holy Spirit of God, if you are a follower of Christ, dwells. And my overarching question this morning is this: does the principle of stewardship apply to how we take care of our bodies? Now, you can imagine the difficulty I find in preaching this 3 days, 4 days after Thanksgiving. And obviously, when Stephen thought that this would be an appropriate thing for us to preach about, he called me immediately because, you know, he deals with certain things. He struggles with food. You know, he talks about Bluebell in every sermon. You know this, right? And so he just didn't feel fit or equipped to be able to lead this message today. So that's why he asked me to step in and take ownership of this. So here's what I want to do today. Listen, there's no passage of scripture that in of itself defines what God says about how we are to honor Him with our bodies. And so our task today is going to be a little bit different than normally how I would preach. We're going to try to develop this morning a biblical theology of how to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our bodies. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at principles from a variety of scriptures all over the Bible and formulate an overarching idea about how you and I as followers of Christ can best honor the Lord with our bodies. Now, there's a lot going on in scripture, and so I want to kind of give us some guardrails because we can't do every scripture at every point throughout the history of God's interaction with the world. But what I want to do is just use the outline of the gospel to give us a formula to walk through this kind of biblical theology of how we honor the Lord with our bodies. And so that we're all on the same page, I want you to know how I define the gospel, because these points will help you as you see me working through the argument of redemptive history and how we are to honor the Lord with our bodies. I define the gospel with 4 words: God, man, Christ, response. To me, this is the overarching narrative of Scripture. It is the essential message of the Christian church: God, man, Christ, response. God created all things with a purpose, and He has authority over all things because He created with a purpose. His purpose was for the created order, the highest level, humanity, to find ultimate satisfaction in Him. And as you and I find satisfaction in Him, to turn that satisfaction back to Him in glorious worship and praise. Every single thing that was ever created was meant to glorify God. That's God. But man rebelled. Man rejected the purpose of God. Man rejected the authority of God and began to seek worship for himself and began to also worship created things that God gave man to point man toward Him. As a result, there was a gap, a separation that was created between us and God. No longer were we able to walk in fellowship with God. We were separated from God in our sinfulness because His holiness, His righteousness, His justice demands that such rebellion, sinfulness against Him be accounted for. And this is the glorious message of Jesus Christ, that when you and I were without hope, when Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were children of wrath, God made us alive in Christ Jesus. The judgment and penalty that you and I deserved upon ourselves for our rebellion, Christ took upon himself and gave us a way then by responding to his lordship to be reconciled once and for all with God. And once again, be able to live as we were created to live, being fully satisfied by him and then turning that satisfaction back to him in glorious worship and praise. And now you and I must respond. When we see what Jesus Christ has done for us, we either respond by giving our life to him or we respond by continuing to live in rebellion. That's the gospel. God, man, Christ response. That is the redemptive narrative of the Bible. And I want to use that to help us outline God's purpose for our bodies, how we have rebelled against that purpose, and how Christ comes to redeem that purpose for greater things. All right, everybody with me? Here we go. God created us, bodies and all, in his image, and therefore has authority over us and all that is us. God created us, has authority over us. Because he has authority over us, he gets to decide what we do with what he has given us. And just look for a second in Genesis chapter 1, as God outlines in a very beginning type form what he wants us to do with our bodies. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree that with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, and this was the sixth day. We were created in the image of God. Our bodies reflect the image of God, meaning that how we use the bodies that incorporate the image of God reflects upon who God is. So it is very important that you and I seek to honor the Lord with what he has given us, given that his image is deeply tied to the very bodies that you and I have. Now, if you see in this passage, I want to look at four separate things that God said that we should do with our bodies. Number one, we should be fruitful and multiply. We should populate the earth using our bodies in the way that God has ordained to do that. Secondly, we should have dominion over the earth. We should rule over that which he has created as God's stewards. We should use our bodies to oversee what God has developed here and oversee his plan for what he has developed. Number three, and this is later on in chapter 2, verse 15 of Genesis, we should work with our bodies. Work is something that existed before the fall. And so as a result, you and I are created. And part of reflecting the image of God is that we work with what God has given us. And finally, and this is a very general statement that is true of all of creation, ultimately, we are to glorify him with our bodies. Our bodies allow us to worship the Lord. Our bodies allow us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our bodies allow us to sacrifice and show devotion to him. God created our bodies, and he gets to say what he wants us to do with our bodies. And yet, in our sinfulness and our rebellion, we have perverted God's plan for our bodies. And what I want to do now is to look at those four principles that we just unfolded from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and show how we as sinful man have perverted what God has intended for us to do with our bodies. Number one, instead of using our bodies to be fruitful and to multiply as God ordained, we have indulged our bodies in unholy sexual activity. And you know this is true of our culture today. You look around, billboards, magazines, television, the internet, everywhere you look, there are examples of how you and I, as sinful men, have rebelled against God's desire for our bodies to honor him in a sexual way. Throughout the story of Scripture, we see people breaking God's plan for sexual intimacy and marriage. And this is a function of the fall of man, according to Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me. Paul says this, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. As a result of our rebellion, us desiring to be worshipped as God was worshipped, you and I exchange what God determined for our bodies to honor him in a sexual way and begin to pursue other things that do not honor him. Old Testament, see a clear example of this. 2 Samuel 11, David and Bathsheba, a man after God's own heart. But in order to satisfy a sexual desire that was improper, he pursues Bathsheba, gets her pregnant, kills her husband, and then brings her in to his household. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, we see a stepson in the church in Corinth sleeping with his stepmother. This is not a new thing, but man, is it prevalent in our culture today. Listen to this. Some statistics about sexual impurity, how we do not honor the Lord with our bodies and culture today. 85% of young adult men, 85%, and almost 50% of young adult women look at pornography once a month. Of Christian men, 20% of Christian women said that they are addicted to pornography. That's within the church. 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys are victims of child sexual abuse. And God is calling us to honor the Lord with our bodies in the context of marriage, in which he proclaimed that we should honor him in that way. And yet, time and time and time again, you and I, as followers of Christ, do not honor the Lord in this way. Secondly, instead of using our bodies to steward the earth in a God-honoring way, we indulge in excess, eating too much, eating unhealthy things, devoting our energy to meaningless things that have no redemptive purpose. Now listen, I realize that we're about to step on some toes because we are Baptists and we like to eat. But the Lord cares about what we eat. And the Lord cares about how much we eat. In the Levitical law, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, we see God outlining very specific guidelines for how the people of God should eat. And while we may be not under the exact rule of law that they were under back then, it's obvious that God cares about his people eating in a healthy way. And you've all heard about one of the 7 deadly sins, gluttony. Seems that we've kind of overlooked that here in America. But God's word to us, warning to us in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 20 and 21, he says this, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." And I picked that verse particularly because, you know, we as Baptists, we get all over drunkards. You know, alcohol, don't you drink too much of it, don't drink it at all. But in the same passage, the Lord deals with gluttonous behavior, overeating. Do you know that one in three, over a third of American adults are obese? Obese, not just overweight, obese. Over a third. Because we aren't honoring the Lord with our bodies and how we eat. Over one third. 17% of children ages between ages 2 and 19 years old are obese. Now, a lot of this, and I don't have time to get into the socioeconomic reasons for a lot of this, are tied to things like poverty that the church has an obligation to speak into as well. But for those of us in the church, we have to be mindful of what we eat and how we honor the Lord with our bodies and how we eat. Thirdly, how have we perverted God's plan? Not only sexually and also in eating, but instead of working, we have become lazy and apathetic. This is especially true of my generation. We feel entitled. We feel that we are owed certain things, and we don't have a work ethic. If something doesn't come easy to us, we don't go after it. I remember vividly as a child, ages 8 and 9, my parents were making me take piano lessons, and I would try to play a piano song. I would run out back, and I would scream in the backyard because I was so frustrated that I couldn't play like Andrew. It didn't come easy to me, and so I was so mad, and I quit. Anything didn't come easy to me, I didn't want to work at. If it came easily to me, I would do it. But isn't that how many of us in the church today function? Especially among my age group. We don't want to work for anything. We want everything handed to us, and yet God has called us to work. And then finally, instead of glorifying God with our bodies, we use our bodies for pleasure and ultimately to glorify ourselves. Now, I want to do the flip side for a second of overeating. And there are several in our culture today that try to mold and sculpt their bodies into a societal image so that they can receive praise and adoration from men and ultimately build up their own vanity. I remember in college, guys working out for hours a day. Hours. They would map out their diets. They would eat certain things in order to build up muscle mass. And yet they would tell me time and again, "Jared, I don't have time to do a quiet time." Really? You're spending hours at the gym. You're spending hours on your diet. And yet you don't have time for a quiet time. Why? Because their priority became looking a certain way in order to receive the favor of men. And just as overeating can be an issue, undereating or sculpting your body into a way that receives the adoration of men can become idolatrous in your life. And those are just a few ways that we have taken our bodies that were meant to glorify the Lord and sinfully perverted them to begin to glorify ourselves. This is how we have perverted God's plan for us. But here is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ has come to show us how to redeem these things, how to use our bodies to glorify the Lord, to redeem our sinful use of it. Let me just give you a few ways that Christ came and did this for us. Number one, Christ used his body to usher in a new kingdom by perfectly obeying the requirements of the law and offering himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Christ gave up his body. He was broken and battered for us, according to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. The body that God gave him, that he willingly took upon himself, Philippians 2 says, sacrificing the glory of heaven to come and rescue us. He gave up that body willingly so that you and I could come to know Christ, reconciled with the Lord. Secondly, Christ used his time and energy to reproduce spiritual children that could carry out his mission even in his absence. See this in Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Go therefore, the people that I've raised up, my disciples, go into all the nations, baptizing them. Build my kingdom as I give you. That's what God, Jesus, on his time on the earth, gave his life to. Producing spiritual children, multiplying himself that could continue the work of building his kingdom. Thirdly, Christ worked under the empowerment and influence of the Holy Spirit. He submitted his body to what the Holy Spirit was calling him to do in order to honor and glorify the Lord in greater ways. And finally, everything that he did to glorify the Father. You see this in John chapter 5. We look to the example of Jesus to see our own faults and our own failures, and also how through his sacrifice and the Holy Spirit of God that comes into us when we give our lives to him enables us to redeem all that God has done, or that we have done to ourselves, and begin to honor and glorify the Lord once again. In light of Christ's example and our obvious failures and how we honor the Lord with our body, we must now respond. So in our remaining time today, I just want us to talk through some practical ways where you and I can begin to honor the Lord with our body once again. Number one, glorify the Lord with your body sexually. If you're single, strive for purity and celibacy until you are able to be married. If you are married, honor the vow that God has given you. Protect your marriage. Protect your mind. Parents, protect your children. Protect your students. Listen, I know a lot of times conversations like this are uncomfortable in the church. But my friends, God created sex, and it's a good thing in the context that God created it in. But your children are being attacked every day. Every day. You and I have to have these conversations as the church. We have to equip them to know how to honor the Lord with their bodies, because if we do not, someone else will inform them of how they can do this. And you as parents are the stewards of your children's bodies until they leave your home. You have a responsibility to them. We can't keep being embarrassed about something that God created. We can't let the world and its perversion of something that God created determine how we respond or we speak about certain things. No. God created it. It honors him. And let us speak that into our children. Let us speak that into our students, because they are being told otherwise every day. Listen, if you as a parent are not speaking that into your children and you just think that they'll find it out on their own, you're not honoring the Lord with what God has given you. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hear me this morning. I don't mean to offend anyone by the topic, but I do want you to understand. Your children, at early ages statistics say, are being exposed to things that you as a parent need to be able to speak into to teach them how to honor the Lord. These are not conversations that we should be ashamed of. These are conversations that we should be excited about, because we get to shape and mold their minds in the way that God intended. Amen. Secondly, not only should we glorify the Lord with our bodies sexually, we should also keep our bodies as healthy as we can. We should eat right. And listen, I'm speaking to me this morning. Some of you know that I have an addiction to Dr. Pepper. It's my one thing in life. I don't keep sweets around the house. I don't eat fried foods all the time. But man, I love a good DP. All right? And so I'm trying to cut back with the help of my beautiful wife. As you know, marriage can be a great accountability partner. So hear me when I say, I'm trying to do this as well. I'm trying to be more mindful because there's a history of diabetes in my family. And I got to be aware of that. Because ultimately, I want to do great things for the kingdom of God. And it will limit me what I can do for the kingdom of God if I become a diabetic. It's just true. So I have to begin to think about what God is calling me to do and how I can honor God with my body and enabling myself to do that by structuring the way that I eat in order to accomplish that. And that's true for all of us. We should eat right. We should exercise. It's hard for us now because so many of us work desk jobs, you know, and they have little, you know, YouTube videos about how you can, you know, exercise at a desk. You know, that doesn't really work out that well. You can, you know, maybe loosen up your ankles a little bit, but overall, you're not going to burn a lot of calories by, you know, just moving in a chair at a desk, right? You got to exercise. God made your body to work. And as our culture has changed and the way that we work has changed, we have to be sure that we accommodate our bodies by giving it the exertion of energy that it needs to burn calories and remain healthy. We have to exercise. What if the Lord calls you to a place tomorrow that required a bunch of walking? You didn't have a car to go from point A to point B. Could you follow the Lord in obedience and go to that place? Or is your physical health at the moment not in a place where you could do that? That's a problem, if not. Now, on the other side of that coin, we have to be sure that in our desire to be healthy and to exercise, that does not become also a stumbling block to us honoring the Lord and becoming an idol, where we spend more time working out than we do spend time with the Lord. And that doesn't build up our vanity and pride and how good we look as a result of the working out that we are doing, because ultimately the end goal is to glorify the Lord with our bodies, not ourselves. Number three, we should work. We should be productive, and we should use that productivity to honor the Lord and to build his kingdom. Listen, not all of you are going to be called into ministry, full-time vocational ministry, but wherever you work, that is God's ministry in your life. If you are a nurse, if you are a school teacher, if you are an accountant, if you are a bank teller, if you work at Chili's, wherever it is that you work, work to the glory of God. And work in such a way that you can be a good example to those around you and testify to the goodness of Jesus Christ. We have to be careful that our work life is not separated from our church life. All of those things merge together. How we honor the Lord at work matters. We're to work in a way that honors the Lord. So work. And listen, young people, college students, get a job. I bring that back to the entitlement thing. Listen, I work with young adults. It's so frustrating to have conversations with people who are upset because they didn't come out of college and get everything that their parents worked 30 or 40 years for. I should be a manager by now. You just started working at HEB last week. I've had that conversation before. I'm going to quit HEB because they didn't make me a manager within the first month. Do you recognize how ridiculous that is? Listen, you got to pay your dues. But you need to work. Don't be entitled. Don't think that you deserve something that you have not earned. Honor the Lord. Whatever door he opens up, see that you can honor the Lord in being an example of Christ in that place, and the Lord will bring favor upon you. I remember when I was in seminary at New Orleans, companies in New Orleans were always asking for workers from the seminary campus because they were so impressed with how well they worked. Some meaningless jobs. And yet they worked them with passion. And the employers noticed, and they earned favor to be able to speak the gospel into those situations because of how they worked. And finally, in everything you do, in word or deed, do it unto the Lord with your body. Your body, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, is the holy temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God has chosen to dwell in us as followers of Christ. We are the places where those without Christ can come and meet a holy and righteous God. Let us be sure that our bodies honor the Lord. Listen, I feel the resistance in this message. I know it's hard. It's hard for me to write it. It's hard for me to speak it. But if we truly seek to honor the Lord in everything, if we recognize that God gave us this body to build his kingdom and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we need to be serious about how we take care of it. Amen? Amen. So, whatever tension you feel in your spirit right now, I want you to spend some time with the Lord wherever you are. Just bow your heads. How are you doing with honoring the Lord with your body? There are people in this room, I promise you, who are not honoring the Lord with their body sexually. Listen, this morning, you need to repent. You maybe need to get some help. After the service, there's a friendship room across the hall. I want you to come talk to one of us. Stephen will be in there. I'll be in there. Other prayer warriors will be in there. We want to help you. If you're a parent and you don't even know how to have these conversations, come talk to us. We want to help you be a good steward of the people in your life, the family that God has given you. Some of you out there have not taken good care of your bodies. Here's the good news. You can start today. And not just a diet that you begin in a new year with a redemptive greater purpose. You want to take care of your body because you want to honor the Lord with your body to do exactly what God has called you to do. How's your work life? How are you known around the office? Are you addicted to work? Because it's where you find your meaning and purpose? Or do you give work your best because it honors the Lord? It glorifies Him. Are you lazy? Do you do just enough to get by? Does that honor the Lord? Commit today to work in a way that honors the Lord. And finally, in everything you do, in word or deed, do it unto the Lord. You can't do that if you haven't given your life to Jesus. And that's the biggest thing you need to hear today. The gospel of Jesus, that he came, he worked, he gave his body so that you and I could be restored to a holy and righteous God.